Republicans are claiming control of the Alaska State Senate with a new leadership structure announced yesterday. Senator Charlie Huggins of Wasilla will be the Senate president, and John Coghill of North Pole will be majority leader. Senator Kevin Meyer of Anchorage and Pete Kelly of Fairbanks will be co-chairs of the powerful Senate Finance Committee. Kelly was leading Democratic Senator Joe Pascvan in results from Tuesday's election. The group has 11 Republicans, and Coghill says it's looking to grow its ranks. Absent from the group are Republican Senators Bert Stedman and Gary Stevens. The new Republican majority in the Senate has ousted Stedman from his leadership position on the Finance Committee. He was one of six Republicans who previously joined with the 10 Democrats in the Senate to form a bipartisan majority, a rare circumstance in U.S. politics. The bipartisan coalition antagonized some non-members like the governor and House Republicans by resisting efforts to restructure taxes on North Slope oil production in favor of the oil industry. Governor Sean Parnell, a Republican, has been actively campaigning this election season to break the Senate bipartisan coalition. The new majority made their announcement near the end of the workday yesterday afternoon. Senator Stedman was in Anchorage and could not be immediately reached for comment. In a news release, Senator Liesl McGuire of Anchorage, who was just named Rules Committee Chairman, said if Lewis and Clark were alive today, they would surely be looking at the Arctic as the new frontier, and our Senate caucus intends to do just that. The most expensive Senate race was also the closest on Tuesday night. Incumbent Democratic Senator Hollis French eked out a win for a newly drawn district that includes Sand Lake and West Anchorage. With 100% of the precincts reporting, French has about 51% of the vote compared to 49% for his challenger, Anchorage businessman Bob Bell. They are separated by 247 votes. And there are still more than 1,500 absentee ballots to count.
If there's 2,000 absentee ballots, in order to overcome a 250-vote deficit, I would have to get about 63% of the absentee ballots. And that's a pretty high bar on an election that was almost 50-50. It's a long shot, but we'll wait and see what happens.
Bell says it was a wild ride on Tuesday night. He isn't optimistic about his chances to win the race, but he is not conceding yet. French is optimistic his win will hold. The Division of Elections will begin counting those absentee ballots on November 13th. At least one-fourth of the Senate's membership will be new, and the 40-member House can expect at least 9 new members. That number does not include Representative Shirley Hughes, who was appointed after the death of Palmer Representative Carl Gatto in April and ran unopposed on Tuesday. Among those joining the 20-member Senate will be 2 state representatives, Democrat Berta Gardner and Republican Anna Faircloth, and a former labor commissioner, Click Bishop. On the House side, former state representative Gabrielle Ledoux will return, this time to an Anchorage district. She previously served in Kodiak. 3 races that could add to the number of new faces in the House were still too close to call yesterday, including District 5 in the Fairbanks area, which featured no incumbents. Haines Representative Bill Thomas was tracked down at his favorite breakfast place yesterday after he was unavailable for comment on election night Tuesday night. With 100% of the precincts reporting for District 34, Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins leads Thomas by 44 votes.
And I won't be disappointed if I'm out. I can go back fishing, but I'm disappointed for the staff. I got 6 staff. Disappointed for the district because as co-chair of finance, people just don't realize what stroke that has. They'll find out.
Thomas had this to say about the House majority organizing without him.
The chairmanship of the finance is gone. There's people ready up there picking my bones, so they all want it, so they're not going to wait for me. So I'll probably end up sitting in some committee starting all over again, but Anna won't have the stroke to get any big amounts of money for any big projects.
Both Christ Tompkins and Thomas ran intense campaigns, especially in the last couple of weeks. Local newspapers were saturated with advertising, and mailers were sent to local homes, some from the campaigns themselves and others from supporters. Scores of letters to the editor ran in support of both men, and they appeared together at public events in Sitka and in Haines. The state of Alaska announced winners of an oil and gas rights in a lease sale held in Anchorage yesterday. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, the state took in more than $14 million.
The sum was a couple of million dollars lower than the previous lease sale, but it was an amount that happily surprised Bill Barron. Barron is director of the Division of Oil and Gas at the state DNR. Companies purchased the rights on tracts of land in and along the Beaufort Sea, on the North Slope, and in the North Slope foothills. Barron says the locations of the purchases could show new areas for development.
You could see that a lot of companies were gathering acreage around land that they purchased over the last several sales. You could see some filling in gaps by some of the competitors of some folks. You can see a direct correlation that there looks like a western development area that has apparently some promise by the industry.
At least three companies bought land in the western area Barron mentions, sandwiched between Kuparuk and the National Petroleum Reserve. Barron says he's excited to see new individuals and small operations make bids, but perhaps he's more excited to see the return of BP and Conoco.
Any activity, especially from some of the major players and some of the minor players, is good for the state. So, yeah, I was really excited when I opened up the bids and saw some of the primary players that have been there historically actually now stepping back in on new acreage.
Barron says it's been a while since producers have looked at the foothills region. He attributes the renewed interest to possible gas reserves in the area. The permits last 10 years and do not require a company to begin work. In Anchorage, I'm Peter Granitz.
Congressional budget cuts mean reduced hours at the Juneau Social Security office. Later this month, the office will be open to the public 3.5 hours, Monday through Friday, from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. The half-hour reduction begins November 19th. The office will also be closed all day November 23rd. In the new year, the Juneau office will close at noon every Wednesday. A news release from the Seattle Region Social Security Administration indicates the reduced public hours will help employees conduct personal interviews and process claims without working overtime. The agency says most Social Security services can be done or can be obtained online at socialsecurity.gov. And finally, patrons of the Alaska Zoo have voted with their pocketbooks and picked a new four-legged president. Apoon, the polar bear, gets the honor. She defeated runner-up Denali, a gray wolf, and write-in candidate Yertle, an alpaca. The campaign was a fundraiser for the zoo and took in more than $4,500. It began September 5th with a press conference and a photo opportunity at the zoo in Anchorage. Ballots were $1, and zoo patrons were encouraged to stuff the ballot boxes with dollars for their favorite animal. As late as Monday, Denali held an 8-vote lead, but Apoon surged ahead and won with a final tally of 2,129 votes, or dollars. All that money raised will support the zoo's operating budget.